You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yo, you know what? Yo, shouts to old people with great advice, bro.
Wow.
You ever talk to like an old person? You ever talk to like a real old person? Like, life has bent them over.
Nah, bro, they kind of gross me out. I've never done it.
You got to ask questions, bro. Don't ask like, yo, how'd you get crooked? Don't ask that, but like, just good advice. You know what I'm talking about? Say some shit. And also, what about old people that are like still cool?
Okay, so as you said this, unfortunately, this piece of advice that I got recently from a neighbor of mine in Kansas City came to mind. Which is like completely unprovoked, by the way. Make sure you have as much sex as you can when you're like, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yo,
there we
Thank
go.
You know,
this is what I'm talking about.
I'm a star.
Like, I said it, and the heavens graced us with an example.
But you know what? Like, it's not even that, like, yes, you can get some like good advice, but you're never asking for it.
No, right? No.
Okay. It's never like, no. Hey.
The unsolicited kind is sometimes the best kind.
At my wedding, I overheard one of my wife's like, almost great-grandmother level, you know what I mean? Like that old, like older than her grandmother person in the family said, hey, make sure you respect each other in the house. And then she said, keep his balls empty and his stomach full.
That, you know what?
Yo. Grandma!
Grandma! Yo!
Yo!
She is down.
That's
bro.
Crazy.
Damn.
There's at some point that you That's hit, crazy. When you hit a certain age.
You stop caring.
When you hit a certain age, it stops being harassment. You know what I mean? It's just, now it's just wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if I would say that to someone walking by while I'm a construction worker, all of a sudden I'm harassing. But this old lady, and I was just like, yo, we need to listen to this sage human being.
I don't know. I hope I care like a little bit.
I want to be so old that I steal stuff and they let me. You know what I mean?
It's no longer a crime.
You know, hey, what are you going to do? Yell at that guy? You know?
He's so old and he's telling me to go have sex.
Yeah.
Let him go, officer.
Like, he's telling people to empty balls and there's no one here.
Let him go. Let him go. He's got a diaper hanging out of his back.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
But it says Carhartt on it.
Hello, everyone.
You would wear Carhartt.
100%.
Let's get this train moving. We haven't even left the station.
Cooligans, buddy.
What's up? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and we have a guest. You've already heard her voice.
Yes.
Already heard Sage
Wisdom. Dropping gems, all right?
You heard boom as she drops gems. Ladies and gentlemen, Allie Charles Martin, everybody.
Allie.
All right.
Look, another morning footy co-worker coming through.
Mike goes, how many, Mike, our producer, he's like, how many of our talent are you going to have? I go, it's only the third, by the way. And I really think that's just him low-key saying, when are you going to have me on?
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
For sure. He loves it. Yeah. Master, you love this.
Look, the first question I ask everybody who works with Alexis, you obviously start working with him at CBS Sports. Lasso Network, and I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I've seen Alexis on clips on my Instagram. I see he can be a little wild, a little wacky. Well, I don't know exactly what to expect. So tell me, what was it before you started working with Alexis? What did you think he was going to be like? And now after working with him, tell me the harsh reality.
See, I try to go about life with no judgment. You know, okay. I like to meet people.
Well, she's like,
and
but
just,
in this case,
you are better than we are.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I don't think you get the vibe of this show.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
We need to be judging.
I got a train to catch. No, I really didn't come in with any judgments or anything. The only people I had worked with that were working at Galazzo at the time were Susanna, kind of, but we never really actually worked together. We were like ships passing in the night. Like, we'd see each other at games and stuff. when she was working with MLS. And then I had done like a couple like watch along streams for Major League Soccer that like Charlie was part of, sitting at his like mahogany bookcase set at his house.
His sailor captain's captain's lair.
Yeah, like he may have been in a boat. Yeah. We're not really sure. So besides that, I didn't know Nico at all. Mm-hmm. I had met like Jenny Chu a few years back, but that had been like 5 years that had passed and she was doing sideline for Orlando. So I didn't really like know anybody that well. I just remember my first day coming in. Once I found my way into the building, I think our first conversation was you talking smack about Emo's Pizza, which is a St. Louis
right.
Delicacy, if you will. It's not for everybody.
Right.
It's only for people with very special taste, very expensive taste.
They are called wild pigeons.
But it's like, it's a very well-known St. Louis thing, but it's just a very unique style of pizza. Right. So I just remember like that was like the first conversation we had, but I don't know. I feel like we like hit it off like early on. I feel like that was something that really stood out to me about Galazzo, even from week one, was that everyone was so awesome to like just hang out with and
just
like
being so positive.
I know
that's not what you expected.
That's also like that's just how
that's fair. That's good that you didn't go in with any like preconceived notions of what he would be like, but now
because you might have said no.
Yeah, now you share a desk together from time to time. You obviously do headlines for Morning Footy as well, but there has to be the moments of like, okay, how do I handle what Alexis just said? We're on live television.
Well, the perfect example, which I'm sure you've all played here on the show, was the foot joke.
Oh, yeah, the foot joke.
I was hosting. That was like, I hadn't hosted that show many times either at that point. No, Suze was out for her wedding, so there was like a good run of shows, and we were talking about goalkeepers and playing with your feet. And
Charlie and Nigel wouldn't stop having this argument because I think
Nigel
good with their feet.
Not
good with feet
letting an
up.
Argument go.
Yeah,
really, what?
But I think Charlie felt like he should have been right, and it never got to the point where he was able to prove himself.
Yeah.
So
and,
it was
and
the
there
final
were only 30 seconds left in the show. Like it was the show
saying,
was ending.
By the way, like off air, like there's no more. There's no more tape. We gotta go. And we're all supposed to say goodbye and like give a prediction or whatever. And Charlie goes, "You think Manchester United cares about Onana's shot stopping or his feet?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, "We had to stop it." I do want to give. I found a way to edit the scene, if you will. In an improv. I will give Ali some credit. If you watch the clip, you can hear you catch Morning Footy. You catch the footy part of that joke first.
Yes.
So you go Morning Footy like, oh, wait, what am I saying?
I know. I was like, all right, that's going to do it for us on Morning Footy. And then I said, and I go, Morning Footy. Because I was like, oh, my God, I need this to end.
That's
but
what allowed me to
going.
Tag it. That's allowed me to go, Morning what? And that's
perfect.
Exactly where I cut the clip.
Right.
See, that was intentional. I was doing that on purpose.
Yeah. But
I knew what I was doing.
Allie gets like the humor part of it. She gets the bits, which is like most people I think are so uncomfortable or unused to having someone at the desk whose goal is to do what I'm doing.
Right.
So that one right there.
I have three younger brothers. Uh-huh. And I will say they are some of the funniest people I know. I also
how disrespectful in front of the two of us.
First of all, always like ahead on like these, like they make up like their own terms and stuff. Like we'll be in a group chat and like I'm in stitches and they're just like, that's just how they talk.
Right.
So, and like a lot of the jokes and stuff, I don't know. I feel like
roll with the punches.
Growing up in that setting, like I think obviously birth order affects a lot of who you turn out to be, but also like even like what kind of siblings you have. And being the oldest and only girl of three younger brothers has very much shaped me, I guess, into the person.
I mean,
roll
with the punches, which is good if you're going to live in New York.
Let's
there's women getting punched out here now.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried about that.
Women are. It's a boxing match, you win without knowing.
Alex is just knocking out women.
I'm kind of hoping that being all of 5 foot one, like maybe I'm just like not even in their peripheral. Like
nah,
they're not even, they don't even see
you might
me
have to
down
take
here.
An uppercut. That's
crazy. This is ridiculous. All right. Let's just watch the clip real quick, just so we can, so people
in case you missed
aware.
It.
Doing right now at Manchester United, do you think they care about his feet or you think they care about him keeping the ball in the back of the net?
Give some respect. There's some people on the internet who probably care a lot about his feet.
And with that, we will just end the show. Thanks for watching Morning Footy. Morning Footy.
Morning what?
See? She said footy. She caught it first.
No, that's a
round of applause for her.
A classic moment. We were talking.
That was my first million view.
Hey.
Yeah, my own personal.
How, How much money did you get from...
Zero, because I used CVS footage. They wouldn't let me monetize it.
You, we were talking before we started recording that you had a little bit of a comedic background. You were talking about...
I wouldn't say that much.
No, it counts. Don't.
No,
don't
I mean, like, it. I used to write skits for my sorority in college. I wouldn't call that comedy. Were they funny? Yes. But
at least, you know what? You've
and it wasn't all just me either.
You put in the work, though.
You did something.
Because some people some people are terrified to even try to be funny.
Or some people will tell you they're funny. I could be a comedian. And they've never tried it once before. They've never attempted to write anything down.
I appreciate you guys gassing me up, but you guys haven't seen these skits. So
only because we're going to knock you down.
Well, let's play. Allie, I got him.
The guy who punches women is here. Come on in.
Ducks under the table.
Have you seen that trend? I mean, maybe it was like a couple years ago, the sorority video trend of like, opening a door.
Oh, for Rush and recruitment
Rush
stuff?
Rush and recruitment. And it was like a terrifying image of like 400 blonde white women that it looked like a horror movie.
Honestly, low-key, like that's another reason why I did skit because you got out of all those other responsibilities. Yeah. I was like, oh, I get to take the whole week off of Rush pretty much to write and perform a skit. Yeah. I'll do that. Are you kidding me? That or have 500 conversations with people. Ugh. Wearing an ugly t-shirt.
I was not. No. I got there was a friend of mine that tried to like invited me to parties and he's like, and I was just like around the culture. I'm like, this isn't for me. And I went to college in Staten Island. Yeah. These are not the people I want to be in a fraternity with. Okay. No. I would be in prison right now if that was the case.
No. I went to Mizzou, which is like smack dab in the middle of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri. It's just like a true college town.
It's a journalism school, right?
It's a really good journalism school. And it was my state school. So it was like more affordable to go there. It had the program that I wanted to fall into, even though I did zero broadcasting while I was in college. So that, you know, you have to find out what you don't like to know what you do like sometimes. Right. And I think, if I look back on college, it was a great chance for me to learn professionally, at least in a work setting, like what I do not like. Mm. And that was working in marketing. I was working, doing like content marketing one summer before my senior year. And I was like, I remember coming home and like, I was living with my parents because it was in St. Louis where the internship was. And I was like, Dad, I hate this. Like I went into school wanting to do TV and I feel like I got away from that because I didn't want to do the local news route, which was a large... that's where like a lot of the curriculum for the Missouri like broadcast program kind of went through. And I was like, well, I want to be like at the games. I want to be covering the games. And I just, maybe I could have pushed harder and figured it out, but you know, my path landed me here eventually somehow. So we got there.
Yeah.
Bitches. Like, let's go.
I was a computer science major. Mm. I did IT for years. And this is where I ended up. So
what do you know about Diddy, bro? Release the tapes.
Use it for good.
I'm actually getting texts and messages from people like, yo, you got
access to the server.
You know what I mean? And I'll just say this. This is my statement. Look, I have nothing much more to say other than I worked for Sean John. I was a senior IT admin over there, and yes, Diddy sniffed me a few times. That's all I'll say. That's it. No more questions on the matter.
Join the Patreon if you want the rest of this story.
Okay. You gotta pay for that kind of access.
This is 100% true, by the way. On multiple occasions.
This is 1,000,000,000% true. And that's it. That is all. If you got any other questions, patreon.com/soccercooligans.
Facts.
Okay.
Facts.
Let's talk talking.
We'll tell you off camera.
I don't even need to pay for that.
Oh no, we're gonna take $3.99 out of your pocket.
Put your credit card out.
We got Apple Pay.
Let's get to it. Let's talk some footy. Okay. Where to begin? MLS. Let's start with the MLS signings. Look, we're going to go over a couple of things because there's a lot of drama in MLS and in NWSL and in U.S. Women's National Team news. So we'll get into all the tea. Mm. But LAFC just signed Maxime Cheneau, and that is a little bit of a heartfelt and...
It's a bit of a gut punch.
Yes. Because,
yeah, for you guys.
Yes, because we are NYCFC fans.
We celebrated with him when we won MLS Cup.
Yes.
As a team.
In 2021.
And I say we because we were working for the team. we were at the party.
Did you guys get rings?
We did.
We did get rings.
Yeah, there's a whole video. Yeah.
We were doing confetti angels in Providence Park. So it's very, very meaningful. But Maxime Chanot left NYCFC to join a club.
AJ Ajaccio.
I don't know.
I think it's Ajaccio.
I don't know.
It's French, so.
Yeah.
I'm still working on the pronunciation.
So he goes over there and he, you know, says he wants to be playing in front of family. And that was the reasoning why he basically ended his contract with NYCFC. And
psych!
And then we get the news.
I got family in LA too, turns out.
No, when I say family, I mean like you fam.
Yeah, no, we all for the family.
We all family.
Yeah.
But Chanel, here it is. Chanel is officially an LAFC player. And yes, look, it's difficult. Obviously.
This was like the emotional leader of the team. This was the rock of the team.
And yeah, so it's going to be difficult to see him in an LAFC shirt. It is what it is. LAFC, aren't having.
That comment? Why are y'all signing really old players?
Yeah, he's what, like 34, 35?
Yeah, he's 34. Yeah.
He can still ball.
He's a good ball. He's one of the, I thought in the maybe the previous 3-4 years, he was probably one of the better defenders in MLS. And he's also a very good defender with both feet. He can send diagonals with either foot.
Great on corners.
Great on corners.
Great aerial.
And a good defender and good on the ball. So it was a tough loss for NYCFC. And it's why I think NYCFC missed the playoffs last season. Mm. So him going to LAFC, look, we'll sort of.
Giroud is
the other one. That's really the big one.
This is the big one.
This is the big one.
Of French people, Maxime, as much as we love you, bruv, you take a back seat to Olivier Giroud and that jawline of his.
I mean.
So that's going to be an exciting move. So the move for Olivier Giroud to LAFC is probably the bigger deal. Tom Bogert was reporting on it of The Athletic. So, this has come up on Morning Footy a whole bunch. This is the first time we get to address it here. But usually what comes up on proper sports broad shows and broadcasts is, look, is he sort of too old? Can he still contribute? I think Olivier Giroud is going to be fine. But on this kind of show, we talk about how is his handsomeness going to adjust to L.A.? Is he an L.A. 10
He's
still?
He's going to love it. Yes. Like, are you kidding?
Is he an L.A. 10 actually brings up a good
That's
point.
A good debate.
That's a good debate.
Because L.A., you know, L.A.
I'd say he's an L.A. 10.
You think so?
I absolutely think so.
I've also heard that he's only guy hot, you know, which we found out. One of our fans, shouts to Kale Parker, we haven't talked in a while.
Mm-hmm.
One of our fans found us gushing over Sebastian Lecce and look into his eyes, you know?
Yes. We argue that Sebastian Lecce is one of the most attractive players in Major League Soccer.
I almost think he's too attractive.
Is he the one that dated
Becky G.
Becky G.
And
right.
Apparently somebody else.
Well, wait. I wasn't going to get into all
obviously,
that.
Obviously, see some TMZ footage of them. Yeah. They might be back together.
There are signs that it might be working out.
I don't know. I don't want
to. I hope it works out for the best.
They've both been on the show.
Yes.
And
Very cool. We
wish them the best. I don't know what happened.
We love that union, and we love the music you're putting out.
Okay, but he's someone that like would
we
be
were like, yo, you
guy
too pretty.
High.
Yeah, yeah. But we found out that a lot of women don't think he's that hot. He gets more of like an F-boy look to him. Where we're only other dudes think that guy. Oh, everyone must think that guy's hot. That women typically don't.
Okay.
I mean, this is
ridiculous.
It's comical that anybody could think this.
It's insane that him and I are the same animal.
That somebody could think.
It's just insane.
God does pick favorites.
Yeah, 100%.
You are a crazy person if you think this man is not. Not only just conventionally attractive, but just literally one of the most attractive people you've ever seen. That's my argument. So Olivier Giroud.
So now we turn. Alan, we don't even need you for this segment. Is Giroud hot?
That is just gush. I mean, I think. Well, let's talk about like the production side. I just want to say I think Olivier Giroud is going to come in and be just fine on the field for LAFC. I think like the conversation of. oh, are these guys just coming to like end their careers? Like Luis Suarez has kind of ended that conversation for me a little bit right now with
not
how
yet.
He's doing right now.
It's a little too early to say that. No. Okay. I mean, come
he's
on.
I mean, with his numbers right now, he's going to put himself in.
It's like five games into the season. It's a long season.
Hani Mukhtar didn't score a goal for like months and was still like towards the top of the league yeah. in scoring. So like, as long as you bag enough goals at one point, you
he's
know.
He's able to stay healthy for the whole season.
That's going to be the big question. Yeah. Okay, but back to handsome Olivier Giroud. Yeah.
So you think he's an LA 10?
I think so.
I'm a little worried about his sense of fashion.
Really?
Yeah, because he's very European, you know?
So you I mean, know? Look, he's French.
I bet you he's going to have a lot of those tight jeans that are ripped all the way. You know what I mean? Just yeah. a oh, lot of
I
rips.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
It's yep. more skin than jeans.
Yeah, yeah. Also, random zippers everywhere.
Yes.
You know what
this
I'm talking
a,
about?
This is a
and,
look.
And with like the... Just like the most starched, like white short sleeve polo.
Yes,
sure, sure.
Yeah.
And like a chain.
100% a chain
the
over
biggest
the white
watch
shirt.
You've ever seen.
Yeah. One of my favorite for the French national team camps, the photos of them arriving to the Claire LaFontaine.
Yeah, they look really
good. Yes.
But they come out of like these the cars. They look like from the, like the 40s or whatever.
Yeah.
But
they're all contributing to the air pollution with the cologne that they're wearing.
But
I could smell those photos. You're 100%
right. Own catwalk.
It's insane.
It's like you have to show up to camp.
You
like,
can't be looking dumpy.
Not
you're
at
the
all.
Squad.
In the training kit, the sweats? Nah, bro, you ain't serious about this.
Nah, Deschamps? Like, bro, did you go athletic for the walk-in? No. We're all auditioning for 007, dog.
Remember, we went to Paris for Messi's first game when
the
he was
Cooligan's honeymoon, whichever one.
Because, it was a beautiful time.
It was a transformative time, really.
It's where
I said transformative, Corbin.
Transformative. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit.
Relax. No, don't shut the podcast up just yet.
But well,
Corbin.
Look, Paris was where we conceived. anyway, no, but the one thing I noticed while I was in Paris is the fashion game is there's some the standard is very very high for everyone. There were toddlers that were dressed better than I was. There were old people that were giving wise advice.
Fashion out there is work.
Like literally women in their 60s and 70s in just great like rain jackets, like some galoshes, great pants, and just
ain't
like
no H&M out there.
never heard of it.
Nah.
So that's the thing. So with a guy like Giroud, he's gonna bring some of that, but he's also not like
he's not Parisian.
Okay,
so there's
maybe
that.
Maybe that's the difference. Okay,
Parisians are known for that.
Do you think that like sometimes these guys come to the league and like adapt a little bit? Like
I don't know. He feels like he's one of those. That's like I'm European. You know, this is the way we do it.
Well, yeah. Seeing him on,
we don't have Tam.
Seeing him do the interviews on the Champions League broadcast, he did a couple of them.
Yeah, him and Charlie are very close.
Yeah, he seems like a fairly like affable guy. He can like laugh at himself.
Were you part of the interview we did with him?
I don't think so.
I think what I found out is I didn't realize how religious he was. He's like he's a very God fearing man.
Damn.
Yeah, I've never thought about that.
Wow, him and Corbin gonna be like this.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, damn. Hey, she plays at PSG. Maybe he's talking about it. They read the Bible together. And like, yeah. This is how I'm gonna live my life based on these sets of rules.
Okay, let's go. Jesus is king. Let's do it.
Jesus.
Gabriel Jesus is king.
Hey, Nico had a funny on Morning Footy today.
What'd he say?
That, he was like, you know, Easter Sunday, we've got a big Man City Arsenal game coming up. And he was like, we'll see if Jesus is risen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was good.
For him, that's not bad.
Well done.
And also, because it's a Jesus in America.
Okay. They go hand in hand. All right. So is any other, do we have any other Giroud takes besides on his handsomeness or how he's going to play? I think we're all set there.
I think we're all good.
I mean, I also think that signings like these are important for MLS as much as people don't want to accept that having some of the game's bigger, more well-known stars is like important to the growth of the league. It is. And I think that's just like the reality. And he's going to look nice on billboards in LA, which you already know that's in the works for sure.
I said a lot about Chiellini being too old and he just bossed it.
That's like, I feel like
I will
all
not
these,
say anything
no,
else.
All these guys like were always like, oh yeah, but he is this age, which is another thing too. I've talked with like a lot of different players who I think we need to like start rethinking what that age is that we start saying that a player is like older, because there's so many better resources available to these guys to like take care of themselves that it's not as much like, oh man, he's 30. There you go.
Bunch
it's
of millionaire vegans.
Yeah, I mean,
right there.
Damn, son.
Sebastian Legette does not have a single percent of fat on that body.
No.
Okay.
Unless I'm sitting on his lap.
Well, that would end his career.
So moving on from the LAFC transfer news, we had some interesting social media action from a US WNT player. Interesting is one word I can use. Yes, that's true. Corbin Albert got into some hot water for her likes and retweets on Instagram and Twitter. What do you guys make of the entire situation?
She is currently trending on X, which you do not want to be. And it's usually never for a good reason.
Not for the reason she's trending. You don't want to be.
No.
Didn't score a banger of a goal.
Well, she did it for PSG recently.
Yeah, but she ain't winning Champions League right now. That's not the reason she's trending.
I just want to preface this with some care. Because this is a young person, a young player.
She's 21. She can buy alcohol in this
she
country.
She can. This is always going to be my perspective. And I try to give people as much a benefit of the doubt until they are straight up, 10 toes down, saying things that I truly dislike. But, look, the evidence, we're seeing a crumb trail of like, okay, this it might be something bad at the end of this trail.
I'm willing to suggest it's not circumstantial. I'm willing to suggest it's substantial.
So the specifics are, and I don't want to display.
For those who don't know, Corbin Albert kind of came on the scene recently in like the last year because of her stellar play with PSG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
PSG's women's team. She's American. She could play for the U.S. women's national
team. She did. She played at the Gold Cup, the Women's Gold Cup, mm-hmm. and played well and got even, I think, more just casual fans more interested in her career.
Especially, too, with the time, as you all know, like we're at with the U.S. Women's National Team, where there is a big changing in the guard. So there's more of a focus on these younger players because everyone wants to see what the talent pool looks like in the depth and see and like really focus on these players.
And
probably more
players.
So than they would have. Yeah.
Let's get some younger players in there. And you know, now social media has changed everything.
100%.
If there's a musician I like, I hear a song, like a rapper, Four Bats is one of the new rappers that have recently sort of hit the scene, probably an industry plant, come out of nowhere. And I'm like, yo, let me check out their social media. Mm-hmm. Not that many posts, but I was like, all right, I can't really go deep. Sometimes you can go deep. And in this case, I would say a lot of fans are like, hey, who's this Corbin Albert? Let me follow up on what her social media presence is like. And it turns out, she's been liking a few things, and she's been reposting a few things that may not sit well with her teammates, the fan base,
and
us.
And that's the main thing. No. And the specifics are...
Someone who doesn't wear a red hat.
Most people can put two and two together, but there's a lot of posts that she's been liking and resharing that is...
Let's be honest, it's transphobic, it's homophobic. I'm almost dying there. Is it hurt?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just breathed in water. That's not a good sign.
That's basically it. She's, you know, if you look at her, I the first ones I saw were the repost on TikTok, and because she's been coming up on my feed dancing at the PSG training. She does dances with some of the other players.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, maybe she's like Trinity Rodman, and it's like real fun and out here having a good time. And then you look at some of the likes and the reposts.
Like, oh, she's the exact opposite of Trinity Rodman.
Doesn't seem as fun, you know, I'll be honest.
More dances.
Okay. And then, so as soon as those started getting shared on Twitter, then now, you know, look, the US WNT Hive, they sting. Sting, bro.
And they're serious.
They're serious, and they ride for you. If you are a person that is like, you know, generally kind, inclusive, caring.
Hey, listen, soccer fans come in all shapes and sizes and you know, sexual preferences and all that. And so if you're going to play in front of them, you should be welcoming of everyone. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, Corbin Albert, maybe not so much.
So well, based on
the Albert family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And based on the on her social media, you can maybe think or assume that one, she's definitely a very religious person, and then also,
which is fine.
Which I like. That's fine to me. Where I like the one that I had a a really big issue with was the post about Megan Rapinoe's injury. And Megan Rapinoe is very vocal about a lot of different causes, which it has been something that I think even her teammates over the years and the fans have credited her for, because it's really helped give a voice to some of those underserved communities that do make up.
Megan Rapinoe is, we're big fans.
And she's used her platform to advocate for so many different things. And whether or not you agree with those things or not, you have to give a lot of respect to what Megan Rapinoe has done, not just for women's soccer and soccer as a whole, but for a lot of really important causes to a lot of people. And whether Corbin Albert agrees with those or not, you should never wish injury on anybody. And that was one of the posts that came out that she had liked, was after Megan Rapinoe suffered that that injury in the final game. And like that, to me, it's, you know, believe what you want to believe, but if you're getting into a place where you're wishing injury or liking things, like even in this realm, like this is not a, I just like can't even wrap my head around this one.
Yeah, it's difficult, especially if you're, even if you're like, you know, this was last year, or just a couple months ago, you're in, I don't know if you had gotten called, been called up already for the U.S. Women's National
Team. Probably part of the youth
But the youth level, like,
setup.
Once you're at the youth level, U12, yeah. That's it. Like,
even
social media.
Even if you know Megan personally and don't like her.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
There's no need to mention anything like this.
100%. And I think like what it all kind of comes down to with me right now is like, keep it to yourself. And I think we have seen, especially when you're in that role, that position, right?
Yeah.
That stuff is going to come out if you don't have the right advisors around you to help you with like your social media. And the reality is like, yeah, you're young, you're only 20 something years old, like maybe some of these likes and things go back to when you were a teen, but like, hey,
yeah,
when I see that stuff happen, I'm like, sorry, then like that's kind of on you.
Yeah, that's like a lack of professionalism. Even when I got the CBS thing, my agent was like, yo, scrub the internet, dog. You said some dumb stuff on stage that can be taken out of context, because I think now that you've met me, I'm not saying anything that's, I don't think anything that would upset a group of people, any group of people, you know, but I'm,
and
you know,
are,
hey, someone could take that out of context, take that out of there, because I know you didn't mean that. You don't want that stuff getting ahead of you. And I was like, that's just smart. I deleted some of my jokes. I kept some up that I know were just a little bit more benign, but this is.
Yeah.
She must come from, I'm only guessing here. I don't know, but this feels like maybe like a bit of a toxic family situation where you're either like them or you're maybe outcast. That's the only thing I can think of, because her family is very clearly. let's just say, I don't know what they were doing on January 6th.
Yeah. But, look,
I think their Amazon orders had grappling gear before. Is all I'm going to say. January 5th, there was some tactical gear that was delivered there.
I don't want to put them on screen or anything, but because...
I mean, this was a public...
It is. I'm just saying, we also work with U.S. Soccer to some degree and stuff like that. So I don't want to... It's not about just kind of dumping on a player. I think there's a... Look, I think there's a deeper conversation and a more serious conversation in regards to what the future of U.S. soccer, what it's going to look like in regards to players that want to use their platform to advocate for something, right? Mm-hmm. If she wants to be a religious person and advocate for certain things regarding Christianity, I think that's totally fair. But 100%. if it is about excluding people in any way or mocking or especially marginalized communities in the country, then there has to be some sort of boundary, especially because some of the players that you play with represent those marginalized communities, right? Like somebody was making an example about, you know, religious people that are inclusive, like, and Stephen Colbert is one of them, right? Stephen Colbert is one of my favorite comedians, very Catholic. I grew up Catholic as well.
I also think we need to stop like always like kind of lumping like religion and being like transphobic or like homophobic the same like
100%.
Space.
And that does happen a lot, but I think there are examples. It's good to point out examples of like, look, you can be both. Like, it doesn't matter. I think people tend to assume you're one way if you're religious, and it's not true. Stephen Colbert is a great example.
Exactly. And it's like somebody who is deeply sort of knowledgeable about his religion. He read all the Lord of the Rings books and the Bible. My man knows his stuff.
Bro, you're reading, bro.
My man's a reader.
A lot of books.
but more than that, it's like when I hear Stephen Colbert talk about religion, I hear him talking about it as from a place of love and something that is deeply important to him.
I love what you just said there, because I think what it comes down to is like, what is the, what's like the baseline you're operating from? Is it from a place of love and respect and try, even if mm-hmm. it's something that you don't understand but want to understand more because you're going about it from a place of love and respect. And so that's why I don't necessarily always care what people believe or why they believe it,
right.
but what is their motivation and how are they going about that belief system? And if it's not from a place of love and respect and understanding, yeah. then it's hard for me to try and meet. And unfortunately, the content that was shared is not respectful.
Not a lot of love going on there.
Not yeah. a lot of love. And so I think that's, you know, kind of back to what you said about like professionalism. The reality today is that social media and your social media presence is a huge part of your job as an athlete. Like yeah. you're, that is your job, is to play soccer. Mm-hmm. And as part of that job, you have an online presence. And that online presence helps you also do things like get partnerships and brand deals and things that also help supplement your income and stuff and you know, whatever else, grow your, like, that's not your primary job, but
her,
it's like
it, her sponsorships are going up. She's starting to sell the Trump Bible.
That was crazy, by the way.
She sleeps on my pillow.
Her comfort is made from the thousands of evidence.
and
stuffed ballot boxes.
And so maybe like it, but I also look at it too is like, you know, again, it's hard to have good relationships with your teammates if you're not doing things out of respect. And I don't know anyone who's going to see that like on the Megan Rapinoe tweet and think anything, but that's coming from a place of pure hate and negativity.
Totally.
And just
right.
not like, that's not somebody that I, that's a lot of trust that has to be built back up for me if I'm a teammate in
Actually,
the locker room.
The story, I think, goes deep. Like, her father told her she, like, growing up, she wasn't allowed to play soccer until Megan Rapinoe said, I'm not going to the fucking White House. And that's when her dad was like,
you got to get in there.
Her dad was like, you know what?
We're going to the store. I'm getting you some cleats.
I got a plan.
The one thing I say, look, and you know, the video, especially with her family.
You can't. Look, you don't pick your family.
You don't pick your family. But
this is why I'm glad my family doesn't have social media. Not because they'd be doing this but the stuff they would be doing would be very embarrassing.
This is where, like, I feel sort of bad for her. And my assumption is that, look, she's a young person, and maybe this is the family she grew up in. And in the last 10 years of politics have been awful. And then,
Truly.
But then also.
And also, like, if we don't, I could care less if you, how you vote. As long as you don't purposely show a disdain for someone that
yeah.
is just of
it's,
another group.
It's not even, I guess,
it's not fair.
It's not even about politics. It's like yeah. political discourse has gotten so
polarizing
but also
yeah.
corny, right? Because this is like the parents making the
this
jokes
is cringe.
About it's making pronouns
yeah.
and you know, things about transgender and non-binary, and then it's
yeah.
like making just fun of that. And now even this week, DEI is now the new thing to be upset about. So I just feel like Corbin might be just in this just cringe ass family that all they focus is on the keywords that MAGA tells them to focus on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, all right, okay, I'm supposed to dislike these things because I've been told to.
Isn't she in this video?
She is in this video.
Yeah,
this is embarrassing. You should be embarrassed.
I was going to say, you also have to give her like a little bit of responsibility to be like,
no,
hey, maybe this is your family.
21?
Exactly.
No, no, 21? I agree, but I also think too, like, and maybe yes, maybe no, like, will, like, I think all of us will look back on things from years past in our lives and be like, that was kind of like, to me, that was like, oh, I don't feel that way about that anymore. And,
right.
stuff. And so I don't know her personally. It's hard for me to like speak. All I know is what, like, you know, I'm seeing. And I come at it from the angle of, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no.
like honestly,
no,
like, none of this is what
not,
you're doing.
History's
is
not gonna
going
to be kind to this. You know
no,
what I mean?
No,
guess
no.
how many times this is going to be brought up? Always and forever.
Always, right. always and forever. And
always
I,
and forever.
Yeah. Take it away, Alexis.
Yeah. it's a thing that comes up in stand-up comedy a lot, right? Because, you know, a lot of comedians now, they choose to, you know, either make fun of trans people or make fun of that community or find marginalized communities to make fun of. And then...
And to acquire that audience.
Yeah, and then, but you, even people watching it now could be like, ah, this doesn't... Like, if you look back at my comedy 10 years ago, there wasn't any jokes like that because not because I wasn't a good enough comic to even try to make the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But my instinct is I'm not trying to make fun of marginalized people for no reason, for the sake of making fun of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Simply because a lot of people are talking about them at the moment and you're annoyed to acknowledge their existence and stuff like that. So that's the annoying thing about this. And I think the standard for you're going to represent the U.S. men's national team, the U.S. women's national team, you have to care. You're representing the country.
It is a massive, massive responsibility.
Very much so.
It is. And you have to deal with the consequences of that. And I think the consequences of this, I don't know what effect it has on her call-ups and stuff, but I would just imagine that the reaction from the players on that
team. The teammates.
Team
it's more that. That's the bigger deal, probably.
Is going to be very strong. And yes, like the fan reaction very much matters too. Those are the people that you're, you know, those wearing the badge and playing for. 100%. But like, I think that this is, I'm very curious to see how this plays
we'll
out.
We'll have to find out real quick.
If Corbin Albert starts getting like hat tricks every game, people are going to be like, all right, I don't know. Maybe it's the hatred.
But okay, you know what? Like, I'll say the quiet part out loud. We do that, you know, with domestic violence situations, and I'm not trying to compare situations, but we do that like in the NFL. How many situations in other professional, like men's sports, for example, do we just like, oh, wow, I'm so angry about this? And then it's like, oh man, he had a really good season.
Two games suspended.
But I also think
my fantasy football.
The current state of like media right now also feeds into that too, right? Because we've all become desensitized to things because of how the news cycle works. And I mean, it's just the reality of the world that we live in, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. And I mean,
I'm curious to see if U.S. soccer will address this at all. And I'm curious to see it might be something that's just held in-house and maybe they just tell her like, yo, that's it. No more posting anything. And maybe it will just quietly kind of go away. But personally, I love that this is becoming a thing because the fan base is not going to tolerate intolerance and they're going to address it. It might, you know, Emma Hayes might still call her up and because she's a good player and I understand that. And if she affects the team negatively, then she will not get called up anymore.
That's something for the players to decide.
But I think the fans have a say here. Like, hey, we don't like that this player is representing the team and you know, have that discussion, have that discourse.
But do you think that like she would not get called up because of like the fans alone?
It depends how loud it is.
Yeah. If it becomes a distraction, then yeah, she probably won't.
I'm going to assume it's not loud enough because there's a lot of U.S. Women's National Team fans, but then how many of those are on Twitter having those arguments, having those discussions? Like, I'm looking at Corbin, you know, her trending. She's trending on Twitter, 2,164 posts. That's not enough to get, you know, the attention, I think, of U.S. soccer to be like, we can't call her
It's also just not going to stop. And, I mean, it's just going to continue. Yeah. And then wait till 4chan hears about this. You know? It's just going to keep going.
So best of luck. Yeah. We'll see what happens going forward.
She wants to be called K-Anon, just so you know.
And we're sticking with the drama on this episode. It's been a very dramatic off the field episode. Oh,
well, international breaks tend to always just bring stuff to the surface. People
We got none else to talk about.
Well, we got a lot to talk about with this story because Emil Forsberg, who just recently joined New York Red Bulls, has been caught in some hot water, I guess, for allegedly ditching his family in Germany.
Bro, he pulled a Miguel Guerrero's.
Wow. Yo. You're bringing him up.
No. I mean, what do you guys think? I'm sure it's crazy.
Yeah, so just to add some more detail, Emil Forsberg's...
His wife and mother of his children found out he got transferred to Red Bulls when he went to New York Red Bulls.
Okay, but doesn't that bring up questions about, like, that existing relationship already? Because that's crazy. Like, if my husband... Like, I'm trying to put myself in a similar boat there.
Right.
I feel like there would have been more like writing on the wall there.
Yeah, there's clearly something we don't know about this relationship.
He went to the grocery store to pick up dinner and then he just didn't come back. Yeah.
Then he was in New York City playing for Red Bulls.
By the way, it happens, okay? My child is an example.
It's like my husband, he went to to Whole Foods to get some groceries and then he signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, you're going to go get milk? Why are you taking all that luggage?
I didn't know you needed your passport to go to the grocery store. Like,
so this is a
why do you have that, you know, Liberty crown on your Lady Liberty crown on
your head? So I had an I Heart New York t-shirt on. So
the way we found out about this was because
when did you get a bag that looks like a big apple?
So Emil Forsberg's wife posted on,
she took it to the gram, dog.
She went to the gram and put out a whole statement. There was a tweet. The first tweet I saw was from a guy at Dazzolino, but he was retweeting the original post that was in Swedish.
Yeah, so this has been translated.
This has been translated. And it basically, she, you know.
I'll read a part of it. We shall part ways. Words I thought I would never utter after two children and 19 years together. And that still feels unreal.
Okay. So
brutal start.
That's a bad.
If you are Emil Forsberg's PR person.
So. And there's a lot of words to come after that.
There's so many more paragraphs.
Essentially, the rest of the statement is, I didn't know you were going to the Rebels.
She says, a new start in New York was apparently a new start for you and your life.
Since you haven't communicated at all, apart from stating that you can't explain your actions, what a horrible response from him. Oh, babe, I don't know. I just can't explain my actions. Time will tell what it was you wanted to achieve by ghosting your family. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Ghosting a girl you went on a date with?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe people could let it slide.
Happens.
Wait, it's
your wife?
Maybe
you went out on a date with someone and then you find out that her likes on TikTok.
We're a little bit not
just
to
the right of what you're more comfortable with.
But then when it's your wife of 19 years and you also have two children, it's not a great look.
She might not be Swedish. She might be Latina. And I'll tell you why. Because this sentence right here, for your sake, I hope you have no regrets and that your new life in New York is worth a divorce and the way you treated your children and their mother.
So why the font changed there?
I don't know why it got smaller.
That one
but
got,
not even,
we
not even to say me. And their mother. Your children. You're going to do this to your children's mother.
Now, I will say.
And what about your children's mother's kids?
I will say, I don't know if she has a PR background or has worked with somebody, but she hit on every single emotional trigger that you could for anyone
without
reading this.
A doubt.
And I don't know what he could possibly say to as a rebuttal.
His response, I'm waiting for his response more than Drake's.
He honestly, to me, like reading that, he just needs to kind of lean into it because I don't know what else you can say. If you are already going to like do that to your family, like you kind of just need to make that your new identity.
He needs to do a press conference with his new family. Be like, look, this is why I had to go.
Bro, she got no gag reflex, dog.
Okay, we'll work on the statement.
And they're like, okay, be honest.
Good start.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
also, where did you learn this English?
you listen to Ali Trostman too much, you don't go to.
Don't lean in, my guy.
Don't lean in that hard.
Yeah. He's had a family here the whole time. Like, there's no other.
I need to see photos of him walking down the street holding Julia Fox's hand. You know what I mean? I want to know you went full. You lost it. You went full New York.
Is this all
Imrata's new boo?
Just dating Timothée Chalamet.
Dude, has anyone seen Pete Davidson?
Good point. It's a good point.
This is a look for more than anything. Look, it's all legit, first of all. I don't know.
We could take part of it.
It seems like, look, I haven't heard any statement from him yet. I just don't want to get anybody in trouble.
What's he going to say? My bad, y'all.
She's right.
But this is a wild scenario. Because, look, even when Rebel signed Emil Forsberg, he was at RB Leipzig. Yeah. And there was
we heard about it for months before it actually happened.
But there was a little bit of like, yo, the Rebels never be signing anybody big coming over, right? Like, players that are like kind of in their prime.
And they don't send the prime players over.
No.
If anything, they'll send like youth players, stuff like that. Like,
exactly.
The way City Football Group does for NYCFC. It's like, oh, here's a player that we think he'll eventually play for City, but let's see what he can
do
over there.
Forsberg is like, was still crushing in Champions League.
He's doing
all right.
Yeah.
And now when they signed him, and he's had already a good start, a couple assists, got a goal. And then, but now
yo,
when
imagine Giroud's family, he leaves Giroud, leaves his family,
but
everyone who gets the transfer.
But now
I think
you
already did that once.
Now that I see this, I'm like, oh, why did he approve the move to Rebel? And now that I see this, I'm like, oh, he's trying to get away from something.
MLS is like the Love is Blind set. It's like, hey, come out here and we're going to.
Apparently it's Temptation Island.
Seriously, it sounds like it.
So, jeez. They were like, hey, do you want to go to New York? Anywhere, dude.
New Jersey, I love it.
I don't care, bro. Harrison been waiting my whole life, dog. Okay, I had a Harrison poster on my wall, dog.
The big city, Harrison, New Jersey.
The not as big apple, of course, dog. Lo amo.
Que lo que.
Yo, I would love to be 300 feet from Newark, New Jersey. Are you kidding me?
So, look, I the main thing after
we... The bath train? Oh, I can't wait.
From the movie?
That dude. One movie?
Love that play. So, the main thing here for me is like, look, a scorned wife, I understand she could be...
American Dream Mall is how far? Oh, damn.
I only recently heard of this place, by the way. And I was like, it's a what?
They you can go skiing inside? Yeah,
that's wild.
Can you surf in there as well or something?
No, they have an ice skating rink.
Bro.
We're selling them on this, bro.
I don't trust that.
Auntie Anne's, bro? Yeah.
So Jimmy Hoffa's buried where? Oh, I gotta go. Get me out of Leipzig, bro. I need to go right now.
Oh my
okay,
God. But,
okay, in all seriousness, if you're the New York Red Bulls and you see this, like, aren't you kind of questioning, like, that player's intentions for coming over and they're, like, how serious they're taking the footballing side unless he's, like...
No, the fans are like, we don't care, dude.
No, he's too good. He's too good of a player.
He's a good midfielder? Well, thank
you. Okay, but, like, we saw... two really good players go to Toronto FC without the right setting, and it's didn't know it. Like it's working now, but like we've seen a lot of times like in MLS, like just because a good player comes over, like LA Galaxy never made the playoffs with Zlatan on their team.
Yeah, but
team,
what
so.
We found out about Emil Forsberg is that he brings no baggage with him. He's coming free,
my man. He's living a minimalist lifestyle.
His shoulders feel so much less.
No distractions.
Yeah, he's got no distractions at home.
My man is focused on the game. And the game alone.
Does keep you up? He's an apartment by himself when he gets home.
My man can't even hear crying babies. No, bro. He's so focused.
He's solely focused on football and some other stuff, but mainly football.
He's like, child support. Oh, sorry. No speaking English.
No.
Pull the full Sammy Sosa in court. Y'all know how
Perdón. No entiendo.
So look, I will say, scorned wife. Yeah, this is, I understand.
He's watching game tape and Hinge. That's it.
But you feel bad for the idea of obviously of ghosting two children. Not and like why it seems like he's like going no contact on his family is disgusting. I hope it's not the case. I hope it's not true. But yeah, this is kind of just such a ridiculous development. And yeah, for the
what'd
sake
you do
of
if he was liking posts and sharing posts of other families. What would you do, dude?
No, he liked the post of Corbin Albert.
Yeah. We didn't say he was a monster. Allie, we just said he left his family without saying goodbye. He's not a monster.
Okay, well, Emil, bro, I don't know what to tell you, man. I hope everything works out with the
I
whole
hope
family.
That in the future you can show respect and consideration for the others despite your needs. This is Latin mom levels of guilt.
And this was originally in Swedish, bro. It must have went hard,
bro.
In Swedish.
A lot of blorgins in there, bro. A lot of Jurgen blorgins, flurgins, dude.
Oh man, my God.
You don't want to see the umlaut.
Yo, you a lot of umlauts, dog. Yo,
it
look I'm
like,
scared.
They look like bullet holes.
Dude, I wonder what ghosting translates to.
It's probably
Blubenbergen.
All right. Well, you know what? We're gonna find out. We're gonna wrap up the show.
Are we gonna retranslate it from?
No. We're gonna look up how to say ghosting in. Swedish.
Will they know the term?
Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully.
I mean, she knew. Yeah, yeah. She said ghosting.
Ghosting. All right.
That might be.
Well, okay.
Do you know how to spell ghosting?
It's spoken.
Oh, wait. My bad. I didn't see it. Ghosting.
Okay. I found
it. Spoken.
Spoken. Hit the button so we can hear it.
Okay. Here goes.
Spoken.
Spoken. How dare you spoken your family?
Damn, bro.
Honestly better when you just sprinkle in the different.
You hit him like Spanglish?
Yeah. Y'all
you go Swanglish?
Y'all didn't think you were going to be hearing roast in Swedish. That's why you come to this show
or like,
for, bro.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? Deadbeat?
Oh, you don't talk?
Dead tact.
Wait, hold on.
Dead tact.
Dead tact. How dare you spoken? You dirt tax?
Okay.
Why do I feel like Jimmy Fallon?
I don't know what's going on.
My head movement.
You're leaning too far into the Swedish, bro.
I might hit Duolingo Swedish just to be able to have this conversation. You know what I mean?
Next Swedish play you have on Morning Footy. Yeah.
Actually, no. We're going to have Alexis read the entire statement. in Spanish.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Crying while holding a bunch of American Girl dolls.
Okay.
Well, just so you know, Emil Forsberg, you built a couple more Alexis.
Okay. You're going to turn them into sports broadcasters.
with a comedic background.
Okay, let's wrap up the show. Ali Trost Martin, thank you so much
for
hanging out with us.
Thank you, guys, for having me.
I will give you a shout-out in a second. I just want to make sure we give a shout-out to Midge Purse.
Yes.
Learned. She posted that she tore her ACL in the game against Portland.
Got it.
Providence Park.
I was watching.
Artificial turf taken. Another ACL again.
Yeah, I was watching. She went down crying, came back up, finished the half, but you could tell something was going on towards the end of that half.
Really bad. So
she is such an incredible player and has really started to hit that stride where you can just tell, like, she's
top form,
reaching new levels of her career and has evolved her game in ways that is not only, as we saw, so crucial to Gotham, but for the U.S. Women's National Team, too. Yeah. Some of that service from the outside that was lacking creatively for the U.S. in the World Cup and in other big, you know, matches and competitions, Midge was like, oh, my gosh, this is a huge answer from this position. And she's just, like, slicing and dicing people left and right, like, wishing Midge Purse the speediest and just best possible recovery. I hope you... and know you will come back stronger. And, like, we just, ACL issue in women's soccer.
It sucks.
It really sucks.
I was at the NWSL championship and I was on the sideline while Midge is, like, running past me, past defenders. And I'm just like, it's like, I was so happy for her in that moment. And then seeing this year felt like, okay, she's gonna play in the Olympics. She's gonna get more opportunities.
Allie Krieger said the same thing. She said that the way that she's really, like, developed some of the parts of her game that, like, providing that service and really picking out that run in the box, like, next level stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's able to get herself, like, whether she's going, like, 2v1, 3v1 at times, like, she can get herself open and pick out that. And it was showing she could really pick out that pass wherever somebody was coming in with some loft on the ball, on the ground. I'm just gutted for her.
Such a dynamic player and someone that we could have really used in the Women's World Cup.
Without a doubt.
You're going to come back stronger. Don't worry about it.
All right.
We love you, Midge.
Let's go, Midge. All right. Allie, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. This is fun.
This was the best. You absolutely crushed it. Make sure you follow Allie Trost Martin on everything, right? Is also Allie Trost Martin on Instagram, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So A-L-Y, you see it on screen. A-L-Y-T-R-O-S-T. Martin. Ali,
you see her, call her Ali Trost Martinez.
You know what I mean? She loves it.
That's who she is now that she's been on the show. He went from Mike to Miguelito, now you're Ali Trost Martinez.
Martin. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Also, your husband also has to go by Martinez as well.
Yeah.
So that's
the whitest dude alive.
So thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, you're on Morning Footy all the time. So go watch.
Right to, you know. Well, tomorrow. I don't know when this is going to air.
This is going to air tonight.
Oh, okay, cool. So tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So for those of you listening in the morning, park your car.
Park your car. Don't drive.
Galasso on the phone.
Exactly. Yeah, tomorrow is my last day hosting the show before Suze is back next week. But I'll be on headlines next week. So
nice.
I'll see you guys in
amazing.
That way.
Ali Trost Martin, thank you so much. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Shout out to the person who left a comment on our YouTube that said that...
they're going to be so mad about this episode.
He said, I wish you guys talked more about the games. You guys make too many jokes.
Yeah, it's all jokes. Well, I hope you buckled your seatbelt today, dude.
It wasn't.
But honestly, thanks for listening.
I hope you hopped in a car seat today. A seatbelt may not even be enough.
So shout out to that person.
Wait, were there any questions I had to answer?
Oh,
I didn't want to leave anybody hanging.
There was.
We could add this to just our audio.
Jenna Broom asked a question. Which two teams play Allie's dream match and where?
Mm. Ooh, that's a really good question. So it's hard because I think I would almost need to, like, create my own teams of, like, my favorite players over the years.
Okay.
No, but, like, honestly, like, I'd want to see, and, like, the women's game is where, like, my love of soccer really, like, began. So, I mean, I'd love to see the 99 Women's World Cup team play, like, the 2015 World Cup. Ooh, U.S. Women's National Team.
That's actually kind of
fun. I'd love to see that.
Was there anybody... There was no one on the 99 team that still
was on.
No. I don't think so.
No.
Not 2015.
No, 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 not 2015. 2011. Yes, there should have been. Abby wasn't on the 99.
No.
No. There had to be somebody. No. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there was, but would be like, I think that would be like so cool to see, like in their primes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Up against each other. Mia Hamm was like my favorite player growing up. I wanted to be her when I was a kid.
I read Brian Ascuri's book but hearing her talk about certain players, especially like Michelle Akers, if Michelle Akers could play in today's era, that just would be so wild to me because she seemed like one of the not crazy, but just reckless with her own body to defend the crest.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
that she had to iron on herself before games.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So
unreal. Yeah. Like
that would be a fun game to watch for sure. All right. Okay.
Yeah. For me, it would be I guess Corbin Albert's family versus the Fox News best 11. Okay. It'd be a friendly, unfortunately.
That's a good
friendly match. Everyone wins or loses.
I'm trying to think of if I can answer this question in a serious way. Can you answer it in a serious way?
Yeah, actually, it would be. It would be the Invincibles.
Okay.
The Arsenal Invincibles versus this year's team.
Mm.
Because I love how defensively stout they are and how high they press. It's not like my ultimate dream, but I would love that. To go on yours, I would love to see the team that played against Algeria, U.S. men's national team that played against Algeria versus the 94 team.
Mm.
I would love to see that.
Okay. I mean,
Tony Meola, Tim Howard, you got.
I my initial thought is the
94 team going to dust them.
Yeah. No, I think it's the reverse.
Really?
Yeah.
That 94 team had some dogs. Like they were like playing.
But
they
I think
crazy.
That
the
2010 team.
Landing Clint.
I think I think quality of not light years, but much better than the 94 team.
Yeah, of course. The 94 team is going to get dusted as
well. Oh,
I
thought you meant
no.
The 2010
I'm like,
team
will
get dusted. Okay, got it. Right.
No.
I think it would start out as a good game, and then I think that quality would shine through. Mm,
okay.
I would love to see that.
I can't even think of what scenario. I don't even know. I mean, maybe I was thinking that was the first one that came to mind, that 2010 USMNT team, but I'm like, I don't know who they would play against.
94. I did it for you.
No,
we did it as a team.
Look at
that.
We did
it
as a team.
Look at
well
you
done.
Guys.
You're welcome.
Alex Rose Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us on your podcast.
It's my
show
now.
The absolute best. We will see you. I won't be here next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Cooper will be subbing in.
Just me and the Coop.
It's my son's first birthday.
Oh,
so,
exciting.
We're going to be hanging out this weekend.
Unlike Emil Forsberg, I'm going to be there for him.
Until I get in your ear, have you seen Leipzig? We should move our podcast.
It's lovely this time
Don't
of year.
Say anything to anyone.
So Cooper will be here next week, but I'll be back next Thursday, so make sure you tune in on Monday. All right, everybody. Y'all the absolute best. We'll see you then. Peace.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.